You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stukats Podcast.
Number three, Mike Ryan.
Kareem Hunt load.
That's a good number two running back. Good God. Good God.
Best in the league.
Just think if he were still in Kansas City.
Oh, my God.
Considering their running game struggles and how Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's probably coming off one of his better games at 100 yards, who's been so nondescript, they haven't been able to replace Kareem Hunt. Cleveland got lucky. I know he had that one incident with the video that made its way in the TMZ, and it was speeding on the books, but maybe something else was going on. But John Dorsey did a couple of good things in Cleveland, taking a chance on Kareem Hunt, and Kareem Hunt repaying the Browns organization, taking a lesser deal as a restricted free agent, reaping the benefits. And when he does inevitably hit the open market, he's going to make a lot of money. He was a great, great player for the Browns yesterday. On Sunday.
It's interesting, Mike.
Fine.
Is it a fine?
Shit.
I don't think. Is that why is that
no,
a
we're
fine?
Season on everything.
I don't think that's a fine.
If I catch it before you, it shouldn't be a fine.
I don't think it's a fine getting a day wrong. I know that Stugatz is fine happy, but your team. Is it accurate to say about your Cleveland Browns, as Stugatz's only analysis is they're good, you've got a good football team, that you have gone from having a laughingstock football team for 20 years, wasting the career of Joe Thomas, one win in 2 years, always terrible, to you now need to win in the window of your running backs that are going to get burned up by workload, even if they're keeping your boy Chubb to 11 carries a game.
Super fresh. They're really...
But do they have to win in that window? Because, of course, that makes Baker Mayfield, the guy who's completing 80% of his passes, throwing the ball downfield the first 2 weeks of the season.
I think you're right about the running backs window to a degree. Stefanski so far has done a good job balancing the snaps. And keep in mind, we have Demetric Felton, who's come in, and he's been freaking awesome for this team. Really dynamic player.
Is that the kick returner? Is that the
punt returner?
He's a punt returner.
He knows how to play receiver. I probably butchered his first name, but he plays receiver, and he also plays running back. They taught him Jarvis Landry's route tree. He's a fascinating player. I'm not really sure why he fell to Cleveland in that draft. I think it's because they couldn't really find what position he was for, but he's doing a hell of a job in helping out that snap count.
But they have the best offensive line in football. So the running backs, you could almost plug in any running back. Chubb is great, but they have the best offensive line in football.
They have a great offensive line. They have a scheme that helps that offensive line, but I think the window that they need to win in is Baker's while he's on a cheaper contract.
Number two.
This is not a good one. Patrick Mahomes.
Uh-oh.
Caboose.
Are you kidding me? Are you?
Silver bullets.
You were raving before the show, weirdly, because you've become football addicted, just like you're gambling addicted. A challenge to Patrick Mahomes? Is it tied to his body? You were yelling about how you were challenging Patrick Mahomes to be better.
Patrick Mahomes needs to get on this now, I think. Now, Patrick Mahomes is still very young. I believe he's younger than Baker Mayfield. Just 26 years old. But I'm not sure Patrick Mahomes takes crazy good care of his body. He's got kind of a weird body type, a body type that I kind of saw like Big Ben in his 20s. I'm like, how is that going to age? I'm not saying be scared, be weary. I'm not even calling him out of shape. I'm just saying be careful. But here's a larger point on Patrick Mahomes.
It'd be so great if he got fat.
If
Patrick Mahomes just developed a weight problem that we couldn't have seen it coming, and like, what are the Chiefs going to do? Their quarterback's now 312 pounds.
I recognize the ass because I kind of have the same ass when I lose control a little bit, and I'm just saying get on that because you're bottom heavy and that's not going to age necessarily well. But here's my challenge to Patrick Mahomes. And this is borrowed from several great, because I don't know what the hell I'm watching on Sundays. I'm just as confused as anybody when the Chiefs offense gets slowed. But they've been doing this for several years now, where it's just like, this is the greatest thing we've ever seen. Incredible offense. How do you stop that? You best not leave 5 seconds on the clock because it's way too much time. Bill Belichick in that playoff game where he slowed their offense down for a half played zone. The league has been playing zone against the Kansas City Chiefs, mostly. That's not how you stop the Kansas City Chiefs. It's just how you slow them. There is no stopping the Kansas City Chiefs. But by slowing them down, and I got this via Dan Orlovsky via the Tapeheads podcast with Scott Pioli. Great pod. Great pod. And through reading articles on Pro Football Focus.
The analysis on these pods are getting so good.
Phenomenal. And I realized, like, okay, I haven't necessarily seen, outside of a Cleveland game, which was kind of a fluke, that Tyreek Hill bomb, because it was a broken route, and Patrick Mahomes himself admitted he just threw it up there, unfortunately for my Browns. There aren't that many quick strikes for this Chiefs offense. They're being forced to play longer, cleaner drives. And Patrick Mahomes got away with a lot of shit early in his career. It was awesome. Hell, the throw that he almost completed in the Super Bowl, we're all like saying, yay, 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 yay. But that's not going to look good when he's 30. Especially if he's got a big fat ass. It's not going to look good.
Whittingham, yeah. Put it on the poll. Are you good rooting point. For Patrick Mahomes to gain 60 to 70 bad pounds?
So he does that no-look pass, and we all freak out, and it's really cool, and we kind of ignore the fact that when we're watching the games, we're like, yeah. Why are you doing this? This is completely unnecessary. It's only a matter of time before it bites you. But then he goes two seasons continuing doing it, and it's like, well, I guess it's never going to bite him. No, it can bite you when you have professional defensive coaches and professional players trying to bait you into bad situations. It's going to catch up. Scott Pioli said, Patrick Mahomes, he's lost his love for the football.
Wow. What?
Not of football.
Wow. What?
For the football.
What?
He is what? Disrespecting the Duke. You do not do that.
He's reckless with it? He's not protecting it? Is that what he's saying? He's lost?
You can't be doing that no-look shit if your drive count is going from 3 plays to 11 plays. And that's what defenses are just trying to do right now. Force Patrick Mahomes to play a clean football game. That's exactly why they blew that lead against Baltimore. They got too cute because they've always been cute. We're the Kansas City Chiefs. It's always super fun. I can look past my Hardman and he'll go down 80 yards.
I hate what you've become, okay? And I need to explain this to the audience because you right now, listen to what you're advocating for as you swim through this pod stream where people have noticed, many people in the pod sphere here, as this entire market gets totally oversaturated, there has been a longing about this sport to understand it better. That just the number of things that have happened in the other sports where we're better at measuring it. And right. Now as everyone is in these fantasy worlds where there's big money involved and your Sundays, this is your weekend, a big part of your party. You're becoming the person, Mike, as you learn more and more about this game that we're watching, and we're all still like, oh, and I still don't understand it. And I'll never understand it, no matter how much I'm listening to Adnan Virk's GM podcast or Scott Pioli. But what you just did on this show, and I won't allow it, is you're siding with Scott Pioli's stiff, constipated, starched, dry cleaned version of football that protects the football at all costs, and you're denying me Patrick Mahomes' no look recklessness free and clear, and you're siding with Pioli over Mahomes, and it's not okay by me.
I'm siding with the Duke.
Yes.
You gotta respect the Duke.
Mm-hmm.
You don't disrespect the Duke. It's cute, it's fun, but it was just a matter of time before we started ascending to a mean.
You're doubling down on this. This is not an apology from you. I won't allow it. I won't allow this to be the show where Pioli's viewpoint on these things matters more than Mahomes, how he plays and how I would like to watch him play.
To Scott Pioli and Mike's defense, I mean, if he would have just set his feet and thrown it and actually led the receiver, it would have been a touchdown. But of course, he wanted to throw it sideways, looking at Tyreek Hill on the sideline, bounced off his hands.
Yeah.
They want Mahomes to play safe. I'm with Dan on this one.
Well, look, that was obvious, plain to say. Like, I didn't need Scott Pioli to tell me that he was disrespecting the Duke there.
I will not allow this. I won't allow it around here. I don't mind being a dictator about this. You are right. He was wide open in the middle of the field, and if you simply set your feet, Peoples-Jones made some sort of ridiculous catch because your receivers are totally ridiculous. He had no one within 20 yards of him, and if he had just planted his feet, it's a throw any one of us could have made more accurately than it was made. I won't f- fucking allow it. Like, that's not the show we're going to be.
Well, then, maybe you won't be seeing the Chiefs in January, after all.
Something's a little off.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, if they continue down this path, if they continue feeling themselves the way that they have, and Patrick Mahomes had an offseason in Tahoe where he was feeling himself.
Oh, yeah.
Thank goodness Freezing Cold Takes unearthed the video of him in Tahoe. Knee deep in the silver bullets, by the way, because someone says, yells at him, watch out for Justin Herbert. And you want to know what Patrick Mahomes says? I'll see it when I believe it. He said it just like that. Not I'll believe it when I see it.
He was into the beers.
I'll see it when I believe it. That's silver bullets, and that's a disrespect to the Duke.
Yes. By the way, the 18-game schedule has affected another part of football nomenclature. We see everyone in January now. Everyone plays until January the 9th.
Oh, wow.
That sucks.
I didn't think nomenclature was necessary there at all. Like, I had it. I think it had no place in the discussion.
I finally see the Jets in January.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
And time for number one.
This is very dramatic.
This one's easy. And look, I've already had one Brown on the list, but this is a body transformation that I'm really hoping you guys caught on. Yes. Baker Mayfield, Zaddy. Now, dude, Baker has put in the work this offseason. Part of what may have affected them outside of a terrible head coach in Freddie Kitchens was Baker was feeling himself too, disrespecting the Duke. Came into the camp and you see that body type. I'm like, how's this going to work? It didn't work. He put in the work this offseason. Have you seen this guy's quads?
Whittingham, why are you laughing at this?
The phrase disrespecting the Duke.
You got to put the Duke on a pedestal, man.
Listen, early on in your career, the Duke is your child. You have to care for the Duke.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and just say it because this is not a football thing. This is an American thing. Culturally, this is what we are in our entertainment and everywhere else. I do believe we have to put football up there, and we have to respect the Duke. All of us. We have to pray to the altar of you do not. However, I will not allow you to not allow some artistic freedom and creativity from Patrick Mahomes within those confines of, yes, we all need to respect the Duke, but also, Patrick, you can paint outside the lines every once in a while because we've never seen what you do before.
He can paint outside the lines this Sunday against the Eagles. Go for it. Go crazy. Be Jackson Pollock out there. I don't care. But when you're playing good teams like the Browns, Ravens, and Chargers, respect the Duke.
Right. I mean, imagine if you're the Duke, Dan, you're thinking to yourself, hey, Patrick, do me a favor. Care about me. When you throw me, look where you're throwing me, okay? Like, seriously, treat it with tender loving care.
What I'm telling you. You're,
set your feet before you throw me, Patrick.
I got it. Thank you, Stugatz. Tender loving care. And what I'm telling you is I don't want Pioli's tender loving care.
TLC.
Thank you, Stugatz. You want this relationship to be about love and respect with the Duke. I want Mahomes to f*** the Duke. Like, just straight sex, lusty and big-assed. Just, I don't want him to respect the Duke. I want him to treat it dirty and have the Duke love him anyway.
That's going to happen Monday night when he plays the Giants in like week
one.
Much football Tantric fornication. He's going to be like Sting with that shit.
The G-Man.
Dude's just going to come for 3.5 quarters.
Put it on the poll, Whittingham. Is Mahomes going to have tantric sex with the Duke against the Giants?
The G-Spot.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the lead in sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Got him in a pretzel like Sting the Duke for through the two-minute warning.
Good, dirty sex. And you want Pioli in a corner.
At one point, I think it got buried, but I said he's going to be coming for 3.5 hours.
We all are, except Pioli, who's going to be yelling about, don't look where you
I love you saying how great his analysis is, and moments later, just trashing his analysis.
Enough.
We think Gettleman's experience watching all of that's going to be.
I saw this video of Gettleman dropping his hat at training camp and bending over to pick it up.
Oh, boy.
It was hilarious.
And sad.
Poor guy.
Yeah, and sad.
You could just, mostly by sad. The looks of it, just by the names, Daniel Jones, Dave Gettleman, Joe Judge, I'm like, that's not going to work out. But then you add like
Jason Garrett
like
in there.
Oh, yeah, my God.
There's just no way it works out. Sorry.
Don't call him Jason.
This doesn't work.
Is that the game? Is that because... You guys tell me, it seems Daniel Jones has not been the issue in the games that they've lost as they start another season terrible. And it's been a couple where they're done as soon as the season starts, because I think it's 5 or 6 straight where they've started 0-2.
A lot of people have been praising Daniel Jones, saying he's a good quarterback. He's gotten a lot better. It'd be funny if Gettleman hit on the quarterback, but gets canned.
What we're talking about here is the way the game is changing. And the way the athletes are changing and the way the quarterback is changing, it would be amazing if Gettleman, if somehow Daniel Jones, because he's not one of the unathletic ones. He's sort of Josh Allen, where you're like, okay, that will translate across the next 5 years of however this sport keeps changing. Daniel Jones does not look cement footed. I think Daniel Jones surprised all of us. That's Gettleman thinking ahead, where look, this dude is an athlete,
yes,
and I can make him a quarterback, and it's looking at Daniel Jones and seeing that, and then with the Chargers, they look at Justin Herbert, and they see that, and they're like, I'm not going Burrow. That's what I want. I want that body type and that athleticism going forward. If Gettleman got it right there, but got it wrong everywhere else because the team's not athletic enough, you don't look at them. Whatever Daniel Jones is doing, he's doing it with like a receiving core that feels like it's from 25 years ago.
Man, they spent money. They brought in Kenny Galladay.
It's like Kyle Rudolph.
But they have Shepard and Slayton. Those guys are always
Ingram,
getting hurt.
Evan Ingram is a decent tight end. He got back. Slayton, Shepard, who got hurt. They have decent weapons on offense. They have Saquon Barkley. Their offensive line, not great. Their discipline, very bad. I mean, so many laps.
What's the point of having Judge if you're not going to get at least discipline? Isn't that the only reason to have Judge?
It's what he's there for. I think what went wrong for the Giants and Gettleman was the selection of Saquon Barkley, even after having the rookie year. But that position has become so interchangeable. You didn't need to waste a second pick in the draft on a running back. And now he's been injured. He's been injured for 3 seasons now, Saquon.
Well, those
Barkley
quads are good as we admire lower bodies and as we continue to celebrate body transformations. Mike, it's been a long time since we just... Larry Fitzgerald's retired now, and it's been a minute since we could just look at a man.
He hasn't retired, Dan. I'm sorry. That's a fine. He just hasn't addressed it.
Mm-hmm. That is not a fine. He's not playing. So
that's how you use it. That's how you say it.
Not official yet.
Yeah, he's just not playing right now. He's
on
sabbatical.
He's doing every Monday night with Tom Brady and who's the guy doing it? Jim Gray. Yeah.
Well, how does this work? Because I'm legitimately, I shouldn't be fined for that. I think that's semantics that you got me on. Because if he had retired, we'd still possibly be wondering, can Larry Fitzgerald come help a team at the end of the season? And we'd still be having the same conversation about, is Larry Fitzgerald actually done? Somebody's going to need a wide receiver, and that would be a great one to add to any offense.
Yeah, he's a free agent, technically. And I'm a little worried about this Tom Brady podcast, because one injury, one COVID spell, and he'll find his way over to Tampa Bay. They're just lining up the Monstars.
But he's the rare free agent at the end of his career on his own terms. We all assume that somebody would immediately pick up Larry Fitzgerald if he said a contender. We assume that that's what he's waiting for. We assume that's why there hasn't been an official retirement.
I assume he'd be killing it this year. You see what A.J. Green did on Sunday? We thought A.J. Green was toast.
To me, retiring gives off... you're not playing of your own volition, which I think is what's happening here. Like, I think if he wanted to play, he would sign for a team for $3 million right now. But because he's not playing, I would consider that retiring. I also think that AJ Green's a good deal better than Larry Fitzgerald. I actually think, like, there were some people that were saying that Larry Fitzgerald was holding back that offense last year just by taking snaps from their other better receivers.
They were running three wide sets, and he's essentially a tight end because all he does is block down the line.
He is a tight end.
Yeah.
The tightest, one of the greatest in the history, Hall of Fame, first ballot tight end. And I want to know what the rest of this list looks like. Now, this is just, your last list was Browns biased, so you're not going to just go around ogling Browns here, are you?
No, absolutely not. These are my top five lower halves in the NFL
right
now. Totally unbiased.
This is very exciting.
Number five. Miles Garrett.
I mean, there's a Brown right there. We're starting with a Brown.
Tell me I'm wrong.
It's too low on the list. There's no way you have four asses better than that. There's just no way.
I do. And you want to talk about an offseason where you're putting in work to get that lower body looking delish.
I'm respecting
those plyos. My God, pal. Jesus. You're plyo boxing 8 feet up in the air. How do you do that? Carry me while you do that, please.
Number four,
Taysom Hill. Dude is sneaky. And I think we all know why, but the Stormin' Mormon has got it going on. I mean, maybe he went on that mission to just work on that lower half. I'm not exactly sure, but this is aged like a fine wine, Dano. I am liking what I'm seeing.
Whittingham put it on the poll. Did Taysom Hill go on a glute mission this offseason? Number three.
This one's very tough.
All right.
But I'm going to have to give it to Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, good one.
So,
deserving.
DK Metcalf, it's interesting. Like, he could have been anywhere here. He actually didn't end up making my list.
What?
Yeah.
What?
He didn't. He's got, because if I'm doing upper bodies, he's number one.
Yeah. Right.
Lower body, he's still got it going on. Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss, he and A.J. Brown, I mean, total freaks. But I'm going with Christian McCaffrey because I've seen the definition. I've seen the dehydrated definition. That dude might as well just slap his thigh before he takes a handoff. It is a show.
Oh, but Mike, this is what I would say to you. This goes back a ways. Like, I know that we know this about these bodies on Sundays, but Stugatz, you can imagine, right? All of these human beings working all of the week under the height of weight training and science. You walk into an NFL locker room and a Warrick Dunn, who is impossibly tiny, like one of the smallest people you will ever see in your life, and now the sport has evolved past him now to the Dalvin Cooks and everything else. But a Warrick Dunn, you'd look at his body and be like, oh my God. Like, this is made of granite. This is running around, and all of those people are bigger than him physically.
Little scat back.
And he was tiny. And he was tiny. These are boulders knocking into each other at high rates of speed all over the field. You'd be surprised by all those bodies shirtless, Mike, is what I'm saying. You happen to see McCaffrey showing you the goods.
Yeah, I mean, I think your list should show it off.
Yeah, but I think if we had a modeling competition with the NFL and just were like, show us your bodies, I think you'd be embarrassed by your choice there.
You have not seen Christian McCaffrey shirtless.
Yeah, I will not accept that.
No, you haven't.
That he's sneaky.
No, it's not sneaky.
It is sneaky.
No.
Your list is sneaky.
No, like, because it's white.
I
got two white guys.
That's not what
I said. If it makes you happy, I don't have any more white guys, Dan. But I'm telling you, go to his IG. This dude is ridiculous. That guy's in shape for any color of skin. I'm not having it.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that your list would look different if everyone in the NFL was naked in front of you. That's all I'm saying.
My list would look different. Look at this.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
Jesus
show him
Christ.
Right now. Hold
Go
on.
To his IG.
I mean, look at
I understand,
McCaffrey.
But
look at that.
Joey Galloway and Sterling Sharp are still built like that, and they haven't played in a long time.
Joey Galloway is not built like Christian McCaffrey is right
now. No, Dan, no.
Come on, man. Come on. Yeah,
it's over.
Just admit that you're not clicking likes on these thirst traps that Christian McCaffrey
You're not seeing
out.
Him in Mykonos with Olivia Kupel with the speedo on.
Did you see him on the sailboat with Braxton Berrios?
My God.
Did you see him on the sailboat with Braxton Berrios?
By the way, Braxton Berrios, what a come up.
Dude.
The salad is wicked.
Dude. Great hair, great lower body too.
Yes.
If this were a top 10, Braxton Berrios may find his little ass out there.
He's the Jets' best wide receiver.
Number two,
Derrick Henry. Don't have to say much. Nope. You all agree, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
We can keep him moving.
Actually, yep. Yeah, enough said.
Enough said. Apostrophe N-U-F-F. And number one, Saquon Barkley. I don't think I've ever seen someone with legs like that. Like, ever.
You've never seen Robert Newhouse.
It's just, at that position, with those legs, I couldn't believe it sustained an injury.
Put it on the poll, Whittingham. Are Saquon Barkley's thighs just two Robert Newhouses? Because I believe that's where we are right now. That Stugatz is longing for a time. I believe each of Saquon Barkley's legs is 210 pounds.
I would have loved to have seen prime Jamal Anderson versus prime Saquon Barkley in like a bodybuilder show, because Jamal Anderson had huge legs, but I think it was a different era in pads too. Yeah. I think there was some performance enhancing there.
How about Christian Okoye? The Nigerian Nightmare.
I think you just wanted to say his nickname.
That's all that happened there. Mm-hmm. He was physically a large man, but Derrick Henry. Christian Okoye was sort of Derrick Henry before Derrick Henry many, many years ago. Also not applicable
in this conversation.
That's right.
Before Derrick Henry. There is no such thing. You look back at like the big bowl, you think Jerome Bettis could exist in today's NFL?
Earl Campbell.
You think Natron Means could exist?
Maybe he's right. Can that be said? That nothing the size and speed of Derrick Henry at running back has ever existed in the NFL. You could probably argue that you're watching an unprecedented human being, because none of those other backs could also run past your secondary. Whatever the bruising back is that we admire,
right,
like the heavyweight boxing champion, because we're watching somebody be more of a man than other men in a sport where everybody out there is a gladiator, and you don't want to get stiff-armed by that dude, because we're humans, and that dude's just a monster, and he's been the 19-year-old kid playing among 11-year-olds since he was a kid, just a man-child.
Given the amount of carries he had in high school, which is legendary tales are told about that and those performances, the load that he had at Alabama, if he were to get injured this week, I've already lost the debate in terms of seeing it coming. The guy's had such a long career already to still be this good at that size. I don't know if in the 1990s I would have been like, you're a D-end. I'm not exactly sure. I don't necessarily. His talent jumps off the screen. That speed, you can't contain that and just stick it at DN.
It's almost like watching someone who 40 years from now will be a myth. You realize that you guys will talk about this the way your grandparents talk about Gale Sayers or Robert Newhouse.
100%. In fact, I think like when they revisit Tom Brady's history in New England,
right,
history should say Derrick Henry did that to you. Because that was the last game at Foxborough for Tom Brady. Derrick Henry and those thighs did that to you.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Listen, it could be Julius Randle's building. How about that?
The Mecca.
Ours, Julius. The Mecca.
Stugatz.
Steve Martin was a prop comic.
You said that?
I said it 2 seconds earlier than you.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Witty, I've heard you go on and on about how Truffle is a scam, and I think this is an instance for the white guy's noise.
White guys!
But
white.
I'm not exactly sure why, because I know white people do love themselves some truffle. Hell, I love myself some truffle. A lot of people do. Dan loves himself some truffle because he eats and acts like a pig.
Fries joke.
Yeah, it's a fat joke.
That's a fine.
Yeah. So
that's not a fine.
I mean, but also,
the joke wrong.
Notoriously, white people on the seasoning, generalization, not all people feel this way, but, you know, you could take some shots at their lack of seasoning
in
their food.
Something to be desired.
Yeah. But truffle is great. Truffle is delicious. It makes any dish better. I was saying that I love truffle hot sauce now. It just opened up a whole new portal for me. Why do you think truffle is a scam?
Because it is an adjective that is automatically made to make something more expensive, right? That's all you have to do is if you add the word truffle to it, it makes it more expensive. I've had two experiences with truffle. Number one, I was at a restaurant in Las Vegas, and my brother wanted to add truffle butter to his steak. This truffle butter cost $16.
Delicious.
And there is not worth everything. Butter in the world that is worth $16 to add to a
steak. Butter. Truffle butter.
Truffle butter. Absolutely. I was very open to it.
Shredder.
I will tell you, I don't trust you on steaks. I'm just going to say that right now.
What?
I'm not coming to Chris Whittingham for steak takes.
Really?
I'm not. I don't trust you with your steaks.
What temperature do you
Tell me.
I was formed in the crucible of the Hard Rock Stadium parking lot, eating churrasco with
Why are you judging him? Why is he afraid to answer the question?
Well, how do you like your steak?
I like it medium.
You are judging his manhood. You are judging Whittingham based on his steak tendencies.
I don't know if it's the vocabulary.
If
it's the glasses,
the nomenclature.
Yeah, it's probably all those things. If it's the general aesthetic, but I don't think of Chris Whittingham as a steak guy.
You are making
him a fancy lad.
You're making him less masculine, and you're assuming that he can't eat steak the way like Ron McGill does.
Yeah.
That you're not that kind. This is offensive.
Ron McGill doesn't even cook it. I mean,
it's offensive.
I want to hear my steak moo.
Yes.
Really? Just a slight char, a little griddle, and that's it.
So I really like red meat, like a good deal. But even for me, like medium rare is just, it's too much. Like, I don't like the taste of blood in my mouth, you know? I like to know that I'm eating food and not a carcass.
A lot of poll
Rambo,
questions
you
here.
Are not.
So. At Lebatard Show, great 1980s movie reference.
I want to pick some fur off of it.
Newhouse and Rambo.
I want to get some fur in my mouth.
I've got a lot of poll questions at Lebatard Show. You keep sinking into it, Stugatz. I'm sure it won't be annoying at all.
I'm sorry. But I'm not.
Do you, when eating meat, like the taste of blood in your mouth? And do you judge a man's masculinity by his steak order? And also, is any butter worth $16? Because I just think of truffle as a gourmet oil. I know that Nicolas Cage now has this. It would be great if he won an Oscar for trying to get his pig back that finds him truffles. Because truffles are a gourmet delicacy that are very expensive, but the way they're found is disgusting. It's just pigs burrowing around to bring you truffle. But I've always thought of it as just simply a delicious gourmet oil that is worth paying for, because it's sort of like an expensive fat sauce that's being put on your stuff that's going to make everything better. Do I have it right?
No, because I don't even think of it as just an oil anymore. That's the early days of truffle. Now I want to actually see the thing. I want it shaved all over my dish. There is nothing that feels more silky in this life than when a waiter comes over with a black truffle.
Oh, the black truffle?
And shaves it like Parmesan at the macaroni grill.
A certain
excess.
Dude, this is an accoutrement.
Yes, it is.
Roy, forgive me. You've had this mask on, and I haven't checked in on you in a while. You're wearing Christmas trees. I've been worried about you. Your eyes were stinging in the first segment. That room smells awful, and I just walked in there once. You have now 18 Christmas trees on you, and I believe you to be disoriented. I can't tell because of the mask when you want to talk. And Mike Ryan just alleged, talking right past you, that truffle is a white thing. I have no idea how black people feel. I don't think it's even fair for me to ask you to speak on behalf of black people and truffle. But I need to know, is he right? Is truffle white guys?
Yes, it is white guys, but I do love truffle. It's a nice alternative to garlic. So, yeah, I love truffle.
You get garlicky, huh?
Yeah, I'm a big garlic guy.
Elevated,
I love
garlic fries. Yeah,
I like experiment. I'm taking my love for truffle out to the extremes now. Like truffle desserts, yum, truffle hot sauce, savory dishes, Mike, truffle barbecue.
Yes,
truffle sushi.
Yes.
Pubbelly did that. I was rock my world.
First off, Pubbelly.
Having truffle with sushi. God. Are you kidding me?
The big eye tuna roll from Pubbelly with the crispy rice with the tuna on top with a little truffle oil with a little sea salt on top. Mwah, Chef right Mendy, now. My boy.
Where do you draw the line? Because it's
shout outs to local sushi places.
Dan, I'm just saying.
Good job, and it's all get a free
fan
meal.
Of the show. Yeah. Big fan of the show. Yep. He wants to come over and actually bring us some sushi.
Oh, dude, if that guy wants to bring that tuna pizza poured directly into my
Dan,
mouth.
Dan, come on now. You're a sushi guy, right, Dan?
Well, now we're doing this, just commercials for local places down the street.
Gotta eat.
I also have the guy who makes the milkshakes at Mark Light Field who wants to come over and make milkshakes for
and
us.
And I got Flanny's.
Oh, my God.
Good. And Flanny's.
Are you shitting me? Yes. We have to. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Can we finally cash in on some of this stuff instead of me buying pizza every week? Like, let's just sell our soul and gain, like,
doing it for
gain
years,
weight
Dan.
Like Patrick Mahomes. And just have milkshakes. Let's take, finally, ESPN, we couldn't do any of this stuff. Yes, this is the way the power of this is supposed to work. Tony Kornheiser, they celebrated 20 years last night, and he's always said, Stugatz, that the power of a radio show, you know, that's what this was. It's sort of what it is as the world changes. And Kornheiser said, the greatest reason to have a radio show is to get great tables in restaurants whenever you want them and to destroy your enemies. And we have not taken nearly enough advantage of either of these things under previous.
I'm not allowed to on one of the fronts.
Right.
Which front?
There's legal language.
Oh, for the love of God.
For all of us.
So I want to get into some.
I have so much I want to say.
So much. One day.
So many charts I want to point to right this day.
But let's take advantage of this now. Let's get fat on milkshakes in excess. Let's get Miami's local truffle place extraordinaire to teach us of the value of truffle. Truffle
if that
desserts.
Chef can, when I search my name on GIFs, there is a GIF of Billy pouring confetti all over my face and into my mouth. You've probably seen it. I want that, but with black truffle.
Okay.
Can that chef do
but
that?
But wait a minute. Absolutely. Mike, you're still on black truffle, but you're really, I mean, I think you're
burying
bypassing. I mean, this milkshake, wait a minute.
Oh, I waited five innings for a Mark Light
it's
shake.
It's a different time. This milkshake
five
comes.
Five college
like,
innings?
1950s soda jerk making you something. This is a corner of Coral Gables where there are secret milkshake treasures that have ingredients that we don't know about, but this is a five-inning line.
I think.
It's cracked, Dan. Yeah. Magic is a secret ingredient.
Yeah, it's better than truffle, is it not? Like
Miles.
The,
well, can this you imagine if they put scam. Truffle in it?
Whoa.
A truffle shake?
Whoa. I've actually never been to Mark Light Stadium, so I never had the milkshake.
Oh, dude.
The lights. No, I mean,
we got to get it.
Hang on.
Chris, we got to make it happen.
Yeah, we got to take you there. Yeah. That is a great, little unique place in Miami. It's just poured concrete and shakes and freestyle music. That's all that is.
I think Roy just wants the shake. He doesn't want to go there. I mean, bring the shakes to Roy.
I mean, you can bring the shakes to Roy, but you got to go. Miami versus Florida, you got to go.
Roy loves a ball game. Like he likes going out to a baseball
stadium. It's not just
a ball
game. It should be Roy's food review of like this local delicacy. This is, I can't explain this to the audience. It's a corner of the world from 50 years ago that doesn't exist anywhere else in Miami, where the pocket of rabid hurricane family that actually care about the program that way. They care about it that way to know where the street corner is. I don't think it's Mark Light Stadium anymore. It's A-Rod Park.
Mark Light Stadium.
Never drop the Mark Light.
Yeah.
This is
Mark
Light. What else?
Nothing has changed.
Like Jackson's Ice Cream. These places across 40 and 50 years of history that make a better milkshake because they've been doing it for five goddamn decades better than you.
Now, there's a box, but the milkshake stand is exactly how you remember it.
Yep.
They serve seltzers now, which couldn't do that. But you'll be happy to know that you still get this breakdown in the middle of an inning.
Mike, I think we need to go out to Mark Light Stadium at A-Rod, that disgraced A-Rod Park, and we need to do a live remote of milkshakes. You say you want to bring the program, University of Miami, back. with guerrilla marketing, teaming up with Billy Corbin to make things happen. Saber rattle at the university.
This is going to do it.
I live remote from the milkshake land. Really? We can bring back the program. The baseball program has fallen into disarray. The football program, the basketball program. We can go on that street corner. Stugatz is already thinking of excuses. Do I have to drive?
We
I don't
want
to go
a milkshake.
That far.
I mean, you want to repair the entire program. I just want to shake.
Ping. Love that place. Oh, man. That place is the jam. And those shakes are incredible. But if you actually want to watch the game, don't get a shake because you'll be there forever because people just go to that stadium for the shakes.
Yeah. You guys understand how much less equipped any of us are anymore in the on-demand age for a line and what it says about the tastiness of a milkshake that people, and after the pandemic, we have less time for a line than we have ever had, all of us. Like, no patience. You bring that stuff to me, I'll make Bezos rich. I don't care if he can be in space the only one living as this earth burns and floods. I'll pay for him to make a space universe because of the convenience of he brings shit to me cheaper than anyone else.
But we'll wait online for these things.
Five damn innings. Like, I'll take a line. You've transported me back to the 50s where there was no Bezos and fire and flood. And all I can do is get fat on a milkshake without thinking about saturated fats or how much kale is in it. I could just get fat in a different time.
At times, the line is longer than the one you'll find at the DMV. I mean, I'm serious.
Five innings long and no problem. I understand because of how that thing tastes. Now, how do
the
they
DMV,
make?
I only get a license here. I got a Mark Light shake.
You get a license to party. You get that music.
Oh, you come out and you get that song just in time. The straw is too big. I go through it too quickly. It's like two outs and I'm done.
I think the line goes all the way to the visitor's bullpen. Like, you get to catch warm-up
awesome.
For a reliever for University of Rutgers.
Couldn't we factory produce a little more of that so that the line gets cut
no,
in half?
No, it's just a dude named Mitch.
Yeah.
And Mitch has reached out to us.
One shake at a time,
it's
man.
One shake at a time, yeah. And the dude named Mitch gets it done.
Okay, so how do we do this? How do we get Mitch over here with his magical machine and have a line down the street so people can see that these milkshakes are as good as we say they are?
I'm glad you bailed on fixing the entire program.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.